is finally here. Friends, listen to me. This is serious business. What the world needs today is Jesus. The Bible says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.
And hello everyone, and welcome to a program, The Truth Will Set You Free, Bible Prophecy Edition. I'm Vic Batista, along with my co-host Nathan Jones with Lamb Lion Ministry. We thank you for being part of today's program, as we have a great program prepared for you today from the book of Isaiah chapter 46 that we have titled Carried by God. So we encourage you to stay tuned and get your Bibles ready to dive in this study with us. Those of you following us on social media, would love for you to share this program with your friends and family so they can follow along with us as well. And before we continue, I'm going to ask my co-host Nathan Jones if he will open us up with the word of prayer.
We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can dive back into the book of Isaiah again. Lord, we're learning so much about you, your will, your purposes. And Lord, we just praise you for that. We thank you for everybody's tuned in. Lord, you know, each and every person has some burden on their heart, and I pray that it will give it to you now. And Lord, that you will be real to them and that we walk with you. And anybody who doesn't know you as Savior will get saved during our time together today. We thank you in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Again, you're tuned into A Truth Will Set You Free Bible Prophecy Edition. Vic Batista, Nathan Jones with Lamb Lion Ministry. Again, our topic is Carried by God as we look at Isaiah chapter 46. And before I continue, I'm going to welcome my co-host to the program, Nathan Jones. Nate, another amazing week that God has given to us this year.
Yes, brother. Amazing here. I see that you guys got snow in Florida. Is that true?
What? Well, we probably did. I did not get to see it, but let me tell you, Nathan, it was cold this week.
Okay. Yeah, I saw, I think it was in the Panhandle. They showed pictures of snow in Destin on top of the palm trees.
Now that I believe in, Nathan, that definitely sounds like Florida.
Oh, we here in the Dallas area are bracing for a big ice storm coming this week. And, you know, it's the time of year. Yeah, I'm glad, you're living in that paradise of Florida. Even the paradise gets a little snow now and then.
Well, and it's nice, Nathan. We actually get to wear our coats one time a year or so.
So before you're back in flip-flops.
Yes, I get to dust off my my closet here and there. But then the amazing thing here in Florida, you are in a coat in the morning, and then by the afternoon, you're in shorts and flip-flops.
Wow. Brother, you are like one step away from the millennial kingdom.
I tell you, Nathan. But so we're excited. We are praying for people around the U.S. I know the snow and it's challenging. So we definitely are in that time of season. This is generally the coldest time around here in Florida. But then, like I said, Nathan, in another month or so, it'll be back to normal.
Oh, beautiful, man. Beautiful.
I'm sorry. Did you say that it was cold in Texas?
No, it's been warm. This is the warmest, driest winter that I've seen and experienced here in Texas. But they're anticipating this weekend to be quite icy and very, very, like 5 degrees.
Really?
But supposedly there's quite the solar storm going on right now, and there's a good chance that the aurora borealis might be visible this far south. So Every night my wife and I are going outside in the cold and looking up in the sky and hoping. I haven't seen the aurora borealis since Alaska, so I'm hoping to see it here this far south.
That is fantastic. Isn't it amazing, Nate, that nature and just the amazing things, you know, that I mean, we have a lot of problems in our world, but we also have some wonderful things, right?
Amen. Amen. Yeah, it's still a beautiful, wonderful world the Lord's made, despite all the fighting and the fallen natures. But we know this world will pass and a new world is coming, the promise of Christ's millennial kingdom and then on into the eternal state. And brother, I've just been enjoying, as we've been working our way through Isaiah, how many messianic prophecies confirm the fact that Jesus Christ is coming back and he will set up his kingdom.
Oh, I love it. And his word is true. And every jot and tittle will be fulfilled. Nathan, speaking of which, maybe there's someone new to the program and they are not sure how to get a hold of our resources. Before we dive into our study, might you be able to share that with them?
Absolutely. Well, you know, the ministry is 46 years this year, founded by Dr. David Reagan. Lamb and Lion Ministries exist to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ and his soon return. And so Vic and I are evangelists here along with Tim Moore. And so we've been proclaiming the soon return of Jesus Christ, or I should say the imminent, because he promises he will come back. The Bible ends three times in Revelation chapter 22. I'm coming back, I'm coming back, I'm coming back. And so we're looking forward to that. We want our excitement to be your excitement as well, folks, because that'll help you in your daily walk. People that are excited about the return of the Lord, evangelize while the time is short, live holy lives, and have hope. So I think we all need a little hope. So check us out on our website at christinprophecy.org or download our Lamb Lion app and visit our Christ in Prophecy YouTube channel. We have a wealth of Bible prophecy teaching materials. Right now, we are going through, it's called our Bible Prophecy Chart Series. We're doing a series of television programs, which are called, our program's called Christ in Prophecy. And we're teaching through a brand new Bible prophecy chart that we have made. We have half-hour versions, as well as hour-and-a-half-long teachings, interviews with other people and other resources. And we're putting that all together on our website at christinprophecy.org under topics, timeline, and so people can follow along. And if you're not quite sure what the prophetic timeline is, then this series, I hope, will bless you. Particularly, check it out on our Christ in Prophecy YouTube channel. We have a whole playlist that has all the content in there.
That is fantastic. Thanks, Nate, for sharing that. And we would encourage those of you that are part of this program, take advantage of these amazing resources to help you grow in your relationship with the Lord and get you excited about the return of Christ. Nathan, that's why we do these programs, because we are very excited about the return of the Lord, but also fulfilled Bible prophecy. Bible prophecy is such an amazing topic because it's found throughout the entire Bible. And I think you often say, and Nate, that at least one-third of the Bible is Bible prophecy.
31% is God wanting us to know what the future holds. And so, unfortunately, we live in a time period where a lot of pastors and preachers are scared to talk about that 31%. They're worried they're going to get it wrong, but we let the Bible interpret itself and teach us what the Lord wants us to know. So, by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, we can know what God's future is for Himself, victory, and His children. Because we're his children, we gain that victory as well. So, brother, I'm glad for everybody who's tuned in here. Clearly, they're excited about the Lord. They want to know more about his coming and know more about God. I think through the study of prophecy, we really understand better the heart of the Lord. And we're going to see that in chapter 46.
Oh, that is fantastic. And we're going to dive into chapter 46. Invite any of you that have your Bible to get that Bible ready and follow along with us. Nate, will you be able to open up for us chapter 46, verses 1 through 4? And I'll do verses 5 and 7 through 7 in case someone doesn't have a Bible. We have the New King James Version in case anyone is interested.
Absolutely. All right. We're now in chapter 46, verse 1 through 4. Bel bows down, Nebo stoops. Their idols were on the beasts and on the cattle. Your carriages were heavily loaded, a burden to the weary beast. They stoop, they bow down together. They could not deliver the burden, but they have themselves gone into captivity. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been upheld by me from birth, who have been carried from the womb, even to your old age. I am he, and even to gray hairs. I will carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you.
Verse 5, to whom will you liken me and make me an equal and compare me that we should be alike? They lavish gold out of bag and weight silver on the scales. They hired a goldsmith and he makes it a god. They prostrate themselves. Yes, they worship. They bear it on the shoulders. They carry it and set it up in its place. And it stands from its place, it shall not move. Though one carries out to it, yet it cannot answer nor save him out of his troubles. Nathan, what an amazing passage, right? And what truth it brings to us.
Yes, repeatedly throughout the book of Isaiah, the Lord has to stop and say, hey, you are worshiping idols. They are worthless. They are stone, wood, gold, even. You fashion it together and then you bow down to it. And yet, I am the God of the universe who created you. I'm alive, but these things are dead. And so, the Lord throughout the book of Isaiah makes a comparison. Again, context is important. So, we're talking about 2,700 years ago. So, around 700 BC is the time of Isaiah. And the Jewish people who were set aside to only worship Yahweh God, the one and only God, continually fell for the idol worship of their neighbors, to the point where the Lord says, look, 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 you guys are worshiping sticks and stones. It doesn't make sense. I'm the real thing. And so that begs the question, Vic, why were they worshiping sticks and stones? Did they have a reason for it?
Nathan, I think the interesting thing is, it's almost like what happens today, that we are so desperate oftentimes to see things happen that we turn to even worthless things. And that's why idolatry, even during our time, even in our modern times, is so great, because people are, rather than turning to the counsel of God from his word, they're seeking it from everything else. And it does. It is sad to see the blindness that has come upon individuals, because they're really looking for answers in all the wrong places.
Yeah. And I've said this repeatedly throughout this series on Isaiah, but back when I was in Bible college, we went on a world religions tour from Philadelphia up to New York City, and you can find every religion represented in New York City, your old stomping ground. And we went to a Hindu temple. Now, Hinduism is one of the oldest pagan religions in the world, and they still practice idol worship today. And so I got to see firsthand thousands and thousands of ugly little wooden statues, some etched with gold, some big, some little. But they were lighting incense to them. They're bowing to them. And it's like, why? So I asked my professor that. I said, why are these people bowing down to what accounts to really just a bunch of sticks and stones? And he says, well, the lower class, those who are less educated in their religion and Hinduism, believe that these little sticks and these little idols have some kind of power. And if they appease these idols, then they will be blessed. The ones who are more devout, understand their theology better, realize that these idols are nothing more than representations of gods behind them. And what does the Bible teach us about these gods? That these gods are demons. That really idolatry is nothing more than demon worship. But there's also a third category, and that's who people who completely reject the Lord, they reject God, they reject his moral law, and so they set up a god in their own image that they can worship and have some form of godliness. I say, I'm spiritual, but then they make up their own rules and regulations for the life. They become the gods. So the idol isn't about worshiping a demon at times. It's about worshiping themselves. And that, to me, really opened my eyes to understanding idol worship today. Because, you know, we have different types of idol worship. Maybe we worship clothes or pocketbooks or cars or yachts or money. But in the end, isn't it always about worshiping ourselves?
Nathan, that's a very good point. And, you know, we're reminded throughout the Bible, especially in the book of Exodus, regarding the Ten Commandments, right from the beginning in Exodus chapter 20, the Lord reminds and says, I, God, spoke to all these words. I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves an image in the form of anything in the heaven or above or beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I am the Lord your God. I am a jealous God, punishing the children from the sins of the parents of the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to thousands of generations to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold you anyone guiltless who misuses his name. But Nate, here in verse 4 and on, clearly, you shall have no other gods, whether it's self-worship or stick worship or car worship, right, Nate? But we're only called to worship the living God.
Absolutely. I mean, it's interesting that when you look at the Ten Commandments, the very first two, worship the Lord, don't worship anything else. Those are the first two. And we see repeatedly throughout the Bible that these idols, which was a huge problem back in the day and continues in a different form today, is again about not giving. What is worship? Worship is showing adoration and love for a deity. And we give adoration and love to our Creator because He created us. And then because we rebelled against him, the just punishment that's meant for us, God sent his own son to die on the cross for our sins, and then he beat death by resurrecting himself from the dead so that we put our faith and trust in him, we're saved. And so, again, we worship the Lord for that. And we're going to spend eternity basking in the glory of God and sharing in his inheritance and be given glorified eternal bodies. There's just, Vic, so much to worship and praise the Lord. So why then would we want to give our worship and praise to a piece of wood, a piece of gold, you know, a stack of money, a brand new car? What do those give us? Maybe a little joy in this life, but they're dead ends. They can't save us from our sins. We're still heading to hell if we worship idols, because it's not the God who saves us. And it's really sad today that we have given up the worship of the only one that matters, the only real God, for a bunch of fake, imaginary, fictitious gods. It's just, or demons who are destined for hell anyway. They can't do any good for us. And so, brother, it's a sad, sad situation.
Yeah, and they promise us freedom, but all these idols really, according to Isaiah 46:2, really lead people into captivity. Nathan, we have a nation of captives in so many ways, in so many forms, whether it's technology. I think that's also one of the biggest idols today that is such a distraction, and how crafty these demons are in bringing our attention to these things that we worship daily. And I mean worship daily, Nathan, because, man, I was checking out my Facebook page and my numbers are going down. And I'm pretty depressed. I'm pretty depressed this morning. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, yeah, I mean, people worship all. What do you put your time and adoration in? You could put it in your wife, your kids, your career, sports, a lot of people worship sports. Maybe it's alcohol, you know, maybe it's drugs. But it's always in the end about self-adoration, where we replace God with ourselves. Well, we can't save ourselves from eternal death. There's, you know, people will try to convince you if you do enough good works, then God will let you into heaven. No, the Bible says our works are like filthy rags because they're sin-stained. That's why we need the perfect blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us of our sins, where he then puts us right and holy before the Father one day. And this is a message we see repeatedly, and I mean repeatedly, throughout the book of Isaiah. God compares himself, a true, living, powerful God who can make a difference, compared to a bunch of sticks that are used to worship oneself. I mean, even look at here when we move up, he's talking about animals carrying these heavy. I mean, some of these idols are small, but I've seen them at that Hindu temple where they're statues. I mean, they're, you know, 8-10 feet tall. They're huge. And so they're saying, like, okay, you're carting them around on these carts. The poor animals can barely drag them around. And that's what sin is like. It's like this burden that, like, carrying 50 bags of rocks on your back, it's a burden that you can't carry. And the Lord says, why are you carrying that? If you give that up, my burden is light. You don't need to carry me around on a cart. You carry me around in your heart. And there's a huge difference there.
Nathan, and that's a very good point. And it's funny that you mentioned that, but you look around the world and everything you see in all these different societies are giant idols. And I mean, you hit it right on the nose. When you look at Egypt and the Egyptians, right, and you see all the idolatry, all idols of man themselves, reminds me also of as you and I, we've been watching a few of the Lord of the Rings, the old statue, and they're entering into the city, and they see these huge statues of their gods, right? And everywhere around the world, that's what you find, is man-made gods, statues of themselves. Egyptians were known for that, and just everywhere. And you still see all these gods standing because people have always tried to elevate themselves to be like God. Remember the Tower of Babel, Nate, right? That was the beginning of this idolatrous Babylonian empires, and it's still throughout the world.
Yeah, and the Bible prophesies that there is a religion coming called the Mystery Babylon religion that's going to merge all the pagan religions into kind of one kumbaya religion. And that'll only last about 3.5 years. And then when Satan is cast out of heaven one last time, he possesses the Antichrist, The Antichrist and the false prophet during the tribulation will force the world to worship them. So no matter what you're worshiping now, in the end, you're a slave to it. Your slavery will just go to a new master, and that master will be Satan during the tribulation time period. And the Lord says, you know, your body might die when you follow me. Boy, it really is painful to watch. The Nigerians are just getting slaughtered by the Boko Haram and the Fulani. And, you know, they're giving up their lives for faith, but they know that what is this life compared to eternity of life with the Lord? And so again, the Lord says, hey, you might lose your life here, but you gain eternity with me. And he's making these, you want to follow an idol, then you're going to live your life burdened by your sin and slavery to it. And your destiny is the lake of fire.
Yeah, and Nathan, that's why there are a few reminders for individuals and us to make note of here. Verses 8 through 10, there's a few things that God constantly says, remember this, verse 8, and show yourselves men, recall to mind, O you transgressors, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do my pleasure. Isn't that awesome, Nate? I just love that, how God manifests himself and reminds us who he really is. He's the one that carried us. He's the one that has been there for us. He's the one that declared things that haven't even happened yet.
Well said. And he's reminding the Jewish people. So again, this is about 700 BC, that for hundreds and hundreds of years, the Lord had been revealing himself to the Jewish people. It wasn't a mystery. They didn't say, oh, I have no idea who he is. And they had Torah. They had the law, at least the Pentateuch and the writings of the prophets and the Psalms, the poetic books, and the historical books. They could see and hear from the priesthood and the rabbis all this information about God. And throughout their history, God would intervene and supernaturally defend them too. He wasn't a stranger to these people, but these people treated him like a stranger. And why? They didn't want to follow him, because following the Lord means giving up your sin. And the Bible says our hearts, the human heart, is deceitfully wicked. We want to rebel against God. We want to live for the lusts of the flesh. And so we were willing to burden ourselves under a false god or a demon just to get the earthly kicks that we can get. And you might get them, but you'll spend eternity burning in hell. I mean, it's a terrible purchase.
Nathan, that's why I love when the Bible puts in the word remember. And a few times here, remember. Why? Because we have a tendency to forget. We grow up and now we think we know everything. When we were at home living with our parents, right, Nathan?
Yeah.
As teenagers, our parents will say things that we're like, oh, mom and dad don't know anything. Now they're the wisest people I ever known.
There you go.
And God, you know, Nathan, God is the same way. It's like, okay, you think you know better? Go ahead, try it your way. And then what ends up happening, right? We're like the prodigal son after eating pig slop. We come back and say, okay.
And that's where you get the final three verses here. Verse 11 says, calling a bird of prey from the east, the man who executes my counsel from a far country. Indeed, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Listen to me, you stubborn-hearted, who are far from righteousness. I bring my righteousness near. It shall not be far off. My salvation shall not linger. And I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. So the Lord's saying, okay, you want to follow idols? Fine. It's worthless. You're going to be food for the bird of prey one day. That's the destiny of all who burden themselves chasing after false gods. But you stubborn-hearted, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Respond to him in faith and accept his salvation, and salvation will be your future and glory for you as well. And of course, he's addressing Israel in particular here, hence verse 13, for Israel, my glory.
Oh, Nathan, that's an amazing passage. I just caught my attention there, where he speaks about these birds of prey, and it just gives me this flashback to speaking of idolatry in the end times, in the time of the tribulation, where we're going to have the fall of Babylon, and Babylon is fallen, and then there's going to be that great battle of Armageddon, and then afterwards the birds of prey, according to Revelation 19, 17 to 21, where they come and they will feast on the flesh of all those that have been slaughtered. And Nathan, here, verse 11, calling on the birds of prey from the east, the men who execute my counsel from far country. I find that there's always warnings for people, Nate, that God has a plan for their lives. God doesn't want to destroy them. God doesn't take pleasure in the death of the wicked. And it's the same today. But if people continue to turn their back on God, there will be a slaughter.
Yeah, all of life boils down to two ways of living. You can live for yourself. You can live against God, but you're going to be burdened by your own sins. You're going to suffer the consequences of them here on this earth. And because the just judgment of hell is still upon you, you will face the lake of fire forever. And yet God is offering salvation for anyone who wants it free. He did all the work. He did all the work on the cross. And yet, it's so sad. The stubborn-hearted. What is the destiny of the stubborn-hearted? They're going to be bird food. I mean, that's it. All of life comes down to this decision.
Nathan, wow, what an amazing eye-opening truth that is. The birds of prey. I was driving here this morning from an appointment, and I looked across the street, and there was a dead animal there. And there was a vulture over that animal just picking at his body, you know? Yeah. And now when you just mentioned that, and as we're looking at this passage, I mean, that's really the destiny of the unbelievers. And we don't want that for anyone. We don't want you, in a sense, like you said, be bird food. We want you to have salvation and enjoy the wonderful things of God. And that's why sometimes people get scared and they're like, oh, well, if that's the type of God, then I don't want nothing to do with him. But remember, no, he's talking about those that reject God, the unbelievers, people that don't want nothing to do with God. But you, if you have a heart for the things of God, if you're part of this program right now, and the Lord is tugging at your heart, and you want a different future, Nathan, they can have that today, right? With just coming to the Lord.
Yes. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. It's that simple. Put your faith and trust in Jesus as your Savior, and you will be saved. And you will inherit eternal life. I mean, that's the two. The whole Bible exists to show us that we're sinful, we're in need of a Savior, we're destined for hell, but God loves us, he gave his Son to redeem us, and he wants to spend eternity with us forever. I mean, that's the whole Bible in a nutshell right there. And just like we read here in chapter 46.
Amen. And if that's you, and maybe this resonates with you, and at this moment you recognize, man, I need the Lord, then we want to encourage you. Call on the name of the Lord. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Turn from your sins, repent, and just invite Jesus to come in. He's a gentleman. He loves you. He will not push his way into your life. But if you invite him, he will come in. With a very simple prayer, wherever you are, you can pray this prayer with us. And if you mean it from your heart, God will change your life. Just call on the name of the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. But God, right now, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I want to invite you, Jesus, to come into my heart, to be my Lord, to be my Savior, and to be my friend. And from this day forth, I want to follow you, Jesus. In your name I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. And Nathan, that's the wonderful truth of God's word. That simple prayer, but God knows the heart. And whoever prays it and means it, there's a celebration for them in heaven because they have repented and turned to him. That's why you and I take joy in doing these programs, right, Nate, to hear what God is doing in the lives of people.
Absolutely. We do these programs to help people connect with the Lord, understand our Messiah, our Creator, but also so that people get saved, so they'll have eternal life. And so please heed the message that Vic just gave you. Accept Jesus Christ as your Savior today.
Praise the Lord. And again, if you need prayer, you can always call us at 305-992-9537 or write to us at webministeralamlion.com. We ran out of time for this segment of the program. Vic Bautista, Nathan Jones saying goodbye. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. Have an amazing week.
Friends, listen to me. This is serious business. What the world needs today is Jesus. The Bible says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish.